Praise the Lord for that. And I know Greg had mentioned the revival in his prayer for the youth. You know, sometimes the statistics that I give up here, and I'll tell you, you know, that a lot of the youth and stuff, you know, are turning away from Christianity and stuff. But do you realize the biggest growth in Christianity today in the United States is in our youth? And we need to support that. Because, I mean, we need to support that with everything we got, because, you know, that's where, you know, you see these revivals breaking out in the country. Most of them are in youth and in colleges and stuff like that. And we see all the bad and all the negativity involved in it. But, you know, something like this, praise God for it. You know, I'm all for it. Praise the Lord for it this morning. Amen. All right, I'm going to be over in Zechariah, the 4th chapter. If you want to turn there, we'll read the scripture here in just a little bit. But one of the things that I wanted to mention is, and we know this, we live in a world where the battles are constant. You know, we do live in a world where the battles are battles in our minds. You know, just think about this. 58 million U.S. adults have experienced a mental illness in their life at some time in their life. 58 million. I mean, that's pretty immense, really. There's battle in our relationships. You think about this. 42% of all adults have had some kind of relationship difficulties. I'm just talking about the United States. I'm not even spending out there in the world. Battle with finances. 73% of all adults in the United States at some time have experienced stress over their finances. And battles with their health. Now get this. A little over half of the U.S. population, that's 165 million people, suffer from some form of chronic illness. These are stats. These are something that's out there for anybody easily to find. And there's even battles within the ministry. So we 4,500 churches close. 4,500 churches close each year in the United States. And most of that is because of the splits within the church. They just can't keep the church going financially. I mean, these are battles. They're real. There's nothing that we can, you know, you just look at them. And if the enemy could do it, if he could do it, he would love nothing more than to keep everybody in this church in constant turmoil all the time. Because he knows if he does that, we're less likely to do the job that God wants us to do, to go out to a lost and a dying world. The Bible tells us, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his goal, that's his job, and he tries that in every which way he can. And way too often, this is where I want to bring it home to us this morning as Christians. Way too often we try to fight these battles with our own strength, don't we? Yeah, we try to fight them with our own strength. We reason these things out within our own minds. We try to do that. Fear can sometimes overtake us. It sometimes can't, till we're physically and we're spiritually exhausted at times. I don't know about you, but I've been there at times in my life. I'm not afraid or ashamed to say that. The reason I say it to you is because I want your prayers. I mean, you know, we don't, but brother, sister, here's a life-changing word from God that I want to give to you this morning. I want you to, when you're going through a battle and as you go through these battles, I want to give this to you. The Holy Spirit is there to fight the battles for you. He's there to fight them for you. You don't have to do these things on your own. And if you're able, let's stand this morning. I'm going to read Zechariah, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse. One little verse. And you've heard this scripture. I know you've heard it a number of times. And it goes like this. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, now get this, not by might. You should say, not by my might, not by my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's where the battles, that's where we've got to understand that all these battles that we think that we have to take upon ourselves, the Bible's telling us the Holy Spirit is there to fight for you. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I just want to praise you, Lord, this morning for your mercy and your grace. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and all that you go with us. And Lord, we want to praise you this morning for your word, for the prayers that you, for the ability to come to you in prayer. And Lord, for all that you do give us, Lord. And Father, we just ask you to continue. We want to thank you for that. Lord, I ask you, Father, this morning that this word, that your word would go out to the people this morning. And Lord, as I always do, get me out of the way, Lord. And Father, let it be thy will. In Jesus' name we ask and amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. I know you've heard this before. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. It's the Holy Spirit's, right? That's where the battle is. To grasp that one little simple truth could be the most powerful thing that any of us as Christians could ever grasp, is to know that we are not in this fight alone and that we have somebody that will fight for us. Listen, there's so many examples in the Bible that tells us of this very simple truth. When a great army was coming up against Judah and King Jehoshaphat, that's over in Chronicles, I believe it was 1 Chronicles, the 20th verse, and the Holy Spirit told Jezreel, he told him this: be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, grasp that truth right here. There's a lot of people in here this morning, I know, that are going through battles. I know that they are. You may not say it. Some of you I know about. You may not talk about it all the time. You may not come out and just say this and that about it. But you've gone through battles. And can I tell you, and I'll say this and I keep saying it, you don't have to go through it by yourself. Now, we have brothers and sisters in here that'll pray for you. And we got a bunch of prayer warriors in here. And praise God for them. But let me tell you something. The biggest thing is that when you're going through the battles, you don't even need to depend on them. You have to depend on God and let God and the Holy Spirit fight the battle for you. Let Him do that. Do we really grasp that sometime? And when Israel was between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, you know this, Moses, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, tells God's people something that still should resonate with us today. He said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Do we grasp that this morning? We don't have to. Listen, God will do the fighting. You just need to stand still and watch and listen and know that the outcome, if God be for you, no one can be against you. No one can be. What we need to see and understand is these verses contain a divine strategy for God's people. That is a strategy. You want a strategy? This is a divine strategy for all of God's people. You know what? We need to see that and understand that. Listen, the natural mind will say, do something. Doesn't it? Every time. Mine does. I'm faced something. You need to do something. You need to fix it yourself, Dave. You need to do this. You need to do that. How many in here? You can raise your hand. How many in here? The natural mind will tell you that, right? Every one of us. But God's word says to be still. Don't let the word of God pass. Don't let that pass as passivity in your life. Because that's not what it's about. Listen, because this is trust. When we believe in God's word, when we believe that, you know what, He is able, the Holy Spirit, listen, we put our trust in a God and in the Holy Spirit that is able to do those things. Listen, a very simple verse of Scripture we should all know is found in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Very simple, and you've heard it preached, and it goes like this. Trust in the Lord with what? A little bit of your heart? All your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to what? Thine own understanding. Man, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I've gotten a lot of trouble with my understanding in my times in my life. I think I told some of them last week, and I know I agree with what Jamie said. When you got a hummingbird mind and an alligator mouth, it gets you in trouble sometimes. Amen?
Yeah, you know what? Trust in the Lord. Listen, yes, it is surrender. But what I mean by that is just submitting your will to God's will. That's what surrender is. James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and guess what he'll do? He will flee from you. Listen, that this is the Holy Spirit fighting for you. When you resist God, when you resist God and resist God's word, the devil's going to hang around. But whenever you use God's word, whenever the Holy Spirit fights for you, listen, he wasn't asking the Israelites to do nothing. When they were against the Red Sea and the army was coming to annihilate them, he wasn't asking them to do nothing. What he was asking them to do, Greg, was to get their hands off of it and let God do what he needed to do. Remember, they were, you bring us out here to die? Right? Do we not in our own little ways question God that same way sometimes? God, you brought me all this way just to do this and let this happen and that happen? No. God's wanting you to take your hands off of it and let him have his way. So he could put his hands on it. Amen? But getting in the way, listen, by reacting in fear, by trying to manipulate the outcome, that's us sometimes, right? That's us. God will not fully act on our behalf until we learn, get your hands off of it. Let me have it. Let me have it. When we say the battle is the Lord's, we acknowledge that he is the authority. Right? We acknowledge that he sees what we don't see. He understands what we cannot grasp. God understands it. In Psalms 139, I'm going to read this. You don't have to turn it, but I'm going to read a little bit of this here. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Hey, can I tell you something? He knows you better than you know yourself this morning. He says, search me and know me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with me in all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Tracy, he knows the words that's coming out of our mouth before we even speak. That's God. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. And listen to what he says. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. You know what he's saying? For that kind of knowledge, I can't even understand. I can't even fathom that God knows that much about me, but he does. But he does. What I'm about to say are things you've heard before, but do you believe them, or are they just nice sayings to you? He knows the end from the beginning. Amen? His ways are higher than ours. And his timing is perfect. I heard Karen Peck and him singing this morning on the television. He was 4 days late, but he was still on time. Amen? Amen. Everyone else, anyone in here been in the army? Anybody in here? Some of you have been in the service, right? Amen. Okay? I shouldn't say army, been in the service. And you know what? You know what reconnaissance is, don't you? You know what it means to send out reconnaissance? Why? Because you need to know the enemy. You need to know about it. That's why it's important to trust God and lean upon God. Because you know why? He already knows you. He knows the enemy. And he knows how the enemy is going to attack. And praise God this morning. We need to be reminded that God knows what to do for us. Knows how to work it out in our lives. In Jeremiah 23:24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? He's already done the reconnaissance. He knows exactly what you are going to need, when you need it, at the time you need it, and how you need it. He knows that because he's already done the work. And praise God, the Holy Spirit will guide you in that. He's done the reconnaissance. And can I tell you something? When God's done the reconnaissance, victory is guaranteed. Can I have an amen this morning? 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds." We go out in our own strength, those weapons are carnal. But when we go through God's strength, those weapons are not carnal. Look back at the situation of King Jehoshaphat again. And I preached on this some time back, and the people of Judah were in. And God told them the battle was not theirs. They were surrounded by a vast army. If you read that, and they were powerless. They didn't have the manpower. They didn't have the weapons. And can I tell you, they didn't have the will. And sometimes in our life, we don't have the will. But they didn't have the will to fight. And instead of forming a military strategy, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. That's a good lesson to each and every one of us here this morning, isn't it? You know what? Sometimes we like to strategize whenever we come up against problems. Listen. Let God do the strategizing. You know what? Let him do the reconnaissance. Let him do all that. He declared a fast and he gathered the people to pray. So what happened after that? If you read 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, it says this. And it said, the first thing he did was he sent out the praise team. Remember? That's what he did. He got a praise team together. He sent them out. Well, lo and behold, the next day when they went out there, it said, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies everywhere. They didn't have to lift the sword. They didn't have to do a thing. God took care of it. The Holy Spirit did the fighting. It said it did. He said there were dead bodies falling to the earth and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoils of them, they found among them the abundance, both riches and the dead bodies and the precious jewels, which they stripped up for themselves more than they could carry away. God gave them the victory, not only gave them the victory, but gave them the spoils of the victory. Praise God this morning. Can I tell you something? Brothers and sisters, he will not only give you victory sometimes, he will give you the spoils of the victory. And you can be able to shout the house down and praise his holy name, because you know what? The Holy Spirit has done the fighting for you. Has done it. They didn't have to do it. When the Spirit of God gave the message to Jezreel, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." The declaration was not just comforting, it was activating. Whenever you let faith and the Holy Spirit, whenever you let the Holy Spirit activate your faith in your life, brothers and sisters, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It redirected their focus from fear, Tommy, to faith. Hey, I will be one to raise my hand here this morning. I hope you agree with me. Sometimes we need to redirect the fears that we have, and we need to put it in faith in a God that knows exactly what he's doing. We lay this stuff out there. And again, when I'm preaching to you guys, you understand that I've been through this stuff too. I brought stuff to this altar before Michelle and laid it on that altar, and then I picked it up and I took it right back to my seat with me. I took it right back to the house with me. Because why? Because I feared that, you know what? The God that I serve wasn't big enough to handle it. Hey, I'm telling you, listen, let the Holy Spirit do the fighting for you. Let him do that. Listen, it took their eyes off the enemy, and the problem and put their eyes on the one who cannot fail. Do you agree with me this morning? We serve a God that cannot and will not fail. I'm going to read a verse for you. I want you to mark this down. You can write it. You can look at it later. It's in Psalms 118:7. And it tells us this. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. And therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. That last part of that, I see my desire upon them that hate me. The translation in the Hebrew goes like this. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. That's how that's translated out. When you see the enemy coming against you, if God be for me, who can be against me? Listen, the victory is already won. It's already won. Many here this morning are either in a situation or know someone in a situation that seems overwhelming. We've seen that. And you've tried everything within your own strength. You tried it to overcome it, but when it failed, you often fall into some sort of despair. But listen to me, that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, as it whispered it like it did to Moses, and as it did to Jezreel, the Lord will fight for you. You need to do nothing but be still and believe. Stillness doesn't mean inaction. People just trying to get that stuff mixed up. It doesn't mean inaction. It means you're aligning with God's word and with God's will. It means worshiping, praising God, even in times things look dark. Amen? That's what it means. We can do that. It means worshiping. It means trusting God, even when everything else within you says, trust your own self. That's what it means. Stillness is one of the greatest expressions of faith that me and you can have. Stillness is one of the greatest expressions. In Isaiah 30:15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, and rest shall ye be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. When you're still, it means you trust God more than you do your planning, more than you do your own strength. Psalms 46:10, be still, know that I am God. When the Holy Spirit fights for us, victory is not only possible, it is guaranteed. Absolutely. Romans 8:31 and 33, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Holy Spirit came upon Samson. Remember? The Holy Spirit came upon Samson, enabling him to defeat armies. And then that same Spirit, this is what is so powerful. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in every believer. That's pretty powerful. That same Spirit, that same Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us as believers. And it's allowing us to have victory. It allows us to have victory. And with each victory, we will know it wasn't of our own power. It was because the Holy Spirit and God has made it possible that we could have that victory. The Holy Spirit will not only fight the battles on the outside, but He'll fight the battles on the inside as well. Do you understand that? And we will face these types of battles, whether it's anger, whether it's impatience, whether it's selfishness, whether it's fear, doubt, or lust. We fighting. Peter said this in 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. In these battles, we will face a choice from time to time. Are we going to take faith over fear? Are we going to take this over that? Are we going to do the different things that they said? Are we going to do that? We got choices. Listen, according to the Holy Spirit, it empowers the believer to resist and make the right choices. Whenever
Listen, whenever the enemy comes up against you, understand this. Listen, he said he will make a way of escape. He'll always make a way of escape. You'll have a choice. And what you got to do, you got to understand, when he makes that way of escape, you need to take it. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It goes on to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Holy Spirit can calm your spirit and silence the lies that the enemy tries to repeat at you, by the way. He can do that. Some of the biggest lies the enemy comes at you with is you're not good enough. God doesn't care for relying on yourself instead of God. And that, you know what, that I can't overcome this. Listen to me, you can overcome through Jesus Christ. You can overcome through the Holy Spirit leading you. You're not good enough. Romans 8, 26 and 28, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. It says that. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Listen to me, the Holy Spirit this morning, you know what? You can think, and you may be thinking, you know what? I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. Listen, let the Holy Spirit guide you. It knows you. The Holy Spirit can give you supernatural peace in the midst of a storm. It can give you that. It's not just simply a feeling of tranquility. I want people to understand this morning. When I'm talking about peace, it's not just simply a tranquility in your life. It's a deep, profound sense of calm, even when things are terrible. Sometimes in our life, this natural world, we have all those types of tranquility sometimes in our life, right? We have those natural things. Maybe at home, when the family's all around you, and everybody's happy and healthy, you know, you have a peace about you, right? Maybe whenever you're out in the woods or on the lake and you're sitting out there in nature and you think, man, this is just awesome. I've got this peace and tranquility about me. Or on vacation or reading a book. And I know Tink, my wife, she'll get on the lawnmower and have her gospel music and listening to that. And she likes mowing. Sometimes that can be peaceful and tranquility. But can I tell you something right now? That is not the peace that passeth all understanding. The peace that passeth all understanding goes beyond all that. It goes beyond all that. A peace that passeth all understanding can tell you, you know what? I'm going through something right now. I don't know whether I will come out of it healthy or not. But you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God will be with me all the way. That's a peace that passes all understanding. That's a peace that passes all. That's only the peace that comes by the Holy Spirit of God being indwelled in you and letting you know that, listen, it's going to be all right no matter what happens. I always loved the three Hebrew children whenever they answered the king. King, we're not worried about answering you in this. We know the God that we serve can deliver us. But if not, we're still not going to bow down and serve you. We're going to stay true to God. Amen? Listen, you may be facing a fiery furnace in your life right now. Can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter the outcome, I'm still going through with you, Lord? That's a peace that passes all understanding. That's a piece of tape. That, wherever your happy place may be, doesn't compare to a peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Listen, even in the storms of life, you can still have peace, and the Holy Spirit can guide you with that. He can do that. The Holy Spirit is more than just a still, small voice. I want you to listen to this. He's the power of God actively working in us through His believers. Now, Do you hear him with that still small voice? Absolutely. But also, he's actively working in your life. And it said, the word used for comforter, listen, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Another comforter, which is what? That he may abide with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit. But look at what the Greek word for comforter is. And I'm not even going to try to say it, but it's an advocate, it's a counselor, it's an intercessor, and it's a warrior. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the sustaining power in your life. When everything else around you seems like it's, the Holy Spirit can sustain you, can draw you closer. I say this, and I'm going to close with this. I want to get a song blend if you want to, please. The night that I got saved, when I knelt out in that breezeway at Calvary Baptist Church in Mannington, West Virginia, on that Wednesday night, when I knelt down on my knees, when I got up out of there, the Holy Spirit had filled me. I had no doubt. I had no doubt that I was saved. None. I knew there had been a change. They didn't say what the preacher, I didn't hear him say that that the Holy Spirit would come. I didn't ever hear that. I know what happened to me that night though. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is for everybody in here. Without the Spirit, you're none of His. You understand that? Now, when you got saved, it may not have been a big rush like it was with me, but I can tell you something. You know if the Holy Spirit's living with you this morning. If you don't know what I'm talking about, when she plays this song, you need to be up here at this altar. Because the Holy Spirit will indwell you. It will guide you. Alita, it'll show Scripture to you. It'll help you witness. It'll help you pray. It'll help you get through life. Day in and day out, the Holy Spirit should indwell you as a Christian. I'm not trying to put a blame game on you. I'm just telling you what it will do. And if you do not have that feel, if you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you know it this morning. I can't come back and open you up and pour it in you. But you know. And if you don't feel that, if you don't feel it, I'm not saying you'll feel it every day. Sometimes you'll go a little bit maybe without feeling, but you will feel it in your life. You'll know it's there. And if you're sitting here this morning and have never felt the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, you need to get to an altar. You need to get to an altar and let God fill you with His Holy Spirit. Let Him fight for you. Amen? All right, if they get a song this morning.